I'm speaking today with Dexter Handy, who is a candidate for Houston City Council District G. Dexter, first question I'd like to ask is, why are you running for this office?
Charles, I'm running because I think I have the leadership, management, and people skills that the city needs to go to the next step level. I'm a retired Air Force officer, Lieutenant Colonel, 28 years experience, and I bring a lot to the table to really help out in a lot of different areas, and we'll talk about that as this interview goes on.
Now, you had run for county commissioner in 2008. Tell me a little bit about what you learned from that experience.
That was quite the adventure. I ran against Steve Raddick, a 20-year incumbent. I felt, again, same thing. There are a lot of things that we needed to bring to light in this county, including bringing down crime, coming up with diverse transportation issues, coming up with better emergency management issues. And that message got out. I got 40% of the vote. He won. But I think a lot of the issues still affect Houston, so I'm still moving on to this journey. But it was quite an exciting drive.
Well, let's talk about that a little bit, because one of the things that a lot of people have said to me in interviews I've done is that they would like to see, especially in the area of crime fighting, better cooperation between county and city resources. You know, having run now for a county office and running for a city office, where do you see opportunities for city and county government to interact in a more efficient and more cooperative way?
Okay, well, first let me say, there are over 80 different law enforcement activities in the Houston metropolitan area. That's quite a bit, and you would like to have them play together and work together. And I say that because if we have a 9/11 here like New York City had, my God, they ought to at least be on the same frequency, and that's where I'm going to start. My background is in communications and information systems. As part of that, it's also dealt with a lot of crisis management and emergency management, planning and execution. I even ran the Department of Defense's Computer Emergency Response Team, where we had to deploy worldwide to against all kinds of different types of network attacks. And when those things happen, it's not just computers that get affected. It's railways, it's oil refineries, it's hospital systems, it's a whole bunch. So we need them to work together. We need to start by doing something that the city has started a little bit, putting them on the same communications network so that the sheriffs, as well as HPD, as well as the ACC policemen, as well as the independent school district police forces can at least talk and coordinate their activities if we've got a perpetrator with bad actions that's going from one region, one turf to the other. So communications is one area. Another area is coming up with a internet type-based model like CompStat, which they use in New York and in L.A. to bring the crime down by tracking the real-time crime events and actually being able to eventually predict where the crimes are going to happen, because they found out 2% of the people were doing 98% of the crime in a lot of cases. Those are just some of the approaches I have to look at. Again, I'm a technologist, but I'm also a management and operations-oriented person. And I think all these things can come to bear.
Outside of the issue of policing, do you see opportunities for city and county governments to work together better or to combine resources in a way that's not currently being done?
I believe so. I think we need to continue in that manner, especially in some of the health and human services areas. There is some overlap. And let's face it, we have a budget deficit now. We've got to look for ways to come up with some economies of scale. I will support that, and I will help look for those ways when I'm on city council.
Well, as you mentioned, yes, the story now is that due to revenue shortfalls, the city's budget is now in a deficit situation. How bad do you think the current situation is? Do you think it's a temporary setback and that we're basically sound and just need to make a few tweaks, or do you think that the situation is worse than it sounds?
Let me say this first. I honestly think the current city council and the mayor and the comptroller did an outstanding job planning for the rainy day. It's just that rainy day turned into more like a hurricane day, along with the financial crisis and then, of course, the oncoming recession that hit the whole country. So we had a tsunami of events. With having seen that, $14 million shortfall doesn't seem like that much. But it does affect a lot of services. It affects a lot of plans. It affects a lot of things, including possibly public safety and in a lot of different ways. So we do need to look at areas where maybe we can stretch out a few areas, delay a few things, cut some work hours short. The last thing I would like to see with all this, though, is any type of increase in any type of taxes. People are losing their jobs, or they're already working shorter hours. The last thing you know is to charge more for goods and services through taxes or anything like that. So we've got to kind of look at some other ways to manage this budget, bring costs down, but still try to keep the essential city services going. And I do commend the mayor, the comptroller, and the current city council for the job that they've done.
Okay. Well, talking about taxes, I guess one to play devil's advocate for a minute, it seems like we've had a number of tax cuts over the past few years, and they were always, you know, presaged with the idea that, you know, times are good, we can afford it. Well, maybe we can't afford it anymore. You know, why shouldn't we? Why shouldn't that be an option on the table?
I would say most of the Houstonians would be against it. Let's face it. Right now, the costs for a lot of goods and services are a certain route. If we've got to pay more taxes on that, that's less income, especially for the low-income earners in our city, and even the middle-income earners. It's just, it's the last thing I would want to do at this point. I would say that. That's absolutely the last thing I would want to do.
Okay. As you know, Metro has recently broken ground on two of its two more light rail lines that were approved in the 2003 referendum. They still have a couple more to get started, and all this work is scheduled to be done, you know, probably 2012, maybe 2013. If you're elected, you would be eligible to serve under current term limits laws through 2015. So looking forward, you know, what do you want to see Metro do next? Where do you want to see them go when they're done with these current projects?
I honestly would like to see Metro take the best of the breed from all over the world. And when I say all over the world, I mean all over the world. I've lived in Europe, where I've seen how rail systems work. I've lived in the Orient, in Taipei, Taiwan, where I've seen how diverse transportation systems work. Metro is obviously responsible for our buses and our rail lines, but my God, let's put in bicycle paths as well where commuters can actually use them. Let's get motorcycle lanes, our motor scooter lanes, because everybody can't ride a bike, but people can get around on motor scooters efficiently. And I've seen more people do that right now. But getting back to what Metro is there for, let's come up with state-of-the-art personal transportation systems. Let's expand on our underground tunnels in downtown Houston. Let's expand on those pedestrian bridges. Let's come up with a real transport network that works. And between now and 2015, I'd like to see that happen. I've been following some of the studies that the Citizens Transportation Coalition accomplishes. I've also had the opportunity to look at some of the Houston Tomorrow presentations on the internet, and I've even attended some of their studies. They're definitely innovative. I will say this, though. They need to take into consideration that people still would like to be able to get their groceries from wherever they are to their home. If we can do it without one person in a car, that's great. But it's got to at least be as comfortable tomorrow as it is today when you're talking groceries, luggage, your bags, and everything else. So that's got to be a part of the solution as well.
All right. Well, I mean, you know, related to transit matters, the city recently revised its ordinance of Chapter 42, which covers things like, you know, the development code covers things like setbacks and sidewalks, and it's geared towards transit corridors and the definition of what's urban and not. You know, what's your opinion of the work the city did on Chapter 42?
I'll tell you, I think it's a move in the right direction. I am sensitive to the developers. They would like to continue the way things have been because of that, the assertion is that costs have been kept down, and that's why Houston grows. I think we need a little bit of managed growth in those areas, and I am a proponent of let's get the sidewalks in there, and if we can get the developers to partner up with the city to do this, I am all for it.
Okay. As it happens, you're the first candidate I've spoken to since the city finally granted a permit to the developers of the Ashby High Rise, you know, that controversial building that they want to put on Bissonnette that's 23 stories tall or whatnot. The neighbors aren't too happy about it. The city doesn't really, you know, at the end, despite not really wanting to allow it, the city admitted that it really didn't have any tools to stop it. So my question to you is, you know, what's your take on the situation, and what, if anything, would you like to see the city have in its arsenal to deal with a future development situation like that?
First of all, I have to say it's a tragedy for all parties concerned. I honestly believe that the developers need to really partner with the local community to make sure that the community wants something like that. Obviously, some homework wasn't done. Once permits are provided, and assuming it's been done up front, it's very, very, what's the word I'm looking for? It's not fair to anybody to all of a sudden go back and say, well, we gave it to you, but now we want to go back and have you do this and do that. It's not cost effective, and it probably stifles growth in the future. However, for the folks that live there, it's a tragedy because they move there with a certain view, with a certain setting. So I think a lot more work needs to be done there. I don't have any real answers yet. I am talking to property owners. I am talking to developers. And I'm looking for a meeting of the minds. To say I have an answer right now, I don't. But I do know that we can't continue on in the matter that we're doing right now.
City Council recently passed an ordinance that imposed some new restrictions on signage for businesses in Houston. What's your take on that?
I would have to say if it doesn't affect safety or security, and I'm honestly thinking of, for example, our realtors where they put signs out for open houses and stuff like that, if it doesn't violate right-of-way, there should be some leeway there. Obviously, nobody wants to see a huge balloon or gorilla that's faded and just been out in the sun for 2 years sitting in the same area. That gets to be an eyesore. So again, I look at the vendors to act responsibly as well. Let's keep this city looking beautiful. If the vendors can't do that, then the city's going to step in and say, look, that thing's an eyesore. We need some ordinances. And that's my take on all that.
Okay. The current incumbent for District G is Pamela Holm. What is your assessment of her term in office as council District G incumbent, and how do you think you would be like her or not like her?
Okay. I would have to say District G has fared fairly well. I live in District G. I love it here. As a matter of fact, when we bought our house, I stayed within District G. So from that perspective, it's a good thing. But there are some areas that still need some improvement, and I'd like to pay attention to those as well as right over here. Around here, crime is not that much of an issue, and I'm on the east end towards downtown. But if you go out further west, we've got communities, we've got pockets there where folks are afraid to get out of their apartments. There's not a good enough partnership between the local residents there and our police forces, and we've got to do a better job there. There's some drainage issues that need to be addressed, and right now we still have some finger pointing between the city and the county as to who should be responsible for areas, and sometimes they say, well, it's neither. It's some private developer. Well, the property owners there are stuck, and they're paying their taxes. I expect myself as a city council person to address those issues. There's still some areas where development takes place, and again, the property owners and the developers are not necessarily in good communication. We need to work those better. So I hope to see, as the next city council person, I would be a lot more active with the super neighborhoods, with the civic organizations, to make sure that I am even more accessible to the citizens.
Now, one of the things that the next city council member in District G will have to face, along with the rest of council, is the redistricting of city council lines. There's going to be a redrawing of the district boundaries plus the addition of two new council districts in 2011. How do you want to see that process go, and you know, what effect do you want to see it have on District G?
I want to make sure all the citizens of Houston can have a fair say in how the city is going to move forward. So those redistricting lines need to be drawn to make sure that, since everybody's affected, everybody has a say. District G, I'm not sure how that's going to turn out, but I do know right now District G has got a diverse population. We are primarily Caucasian, but we do have a thriving Arab Muslim community. We have a thriving Pakistani and Indian community, Vietnamese, Chinese. Everyone needs to be able to have a say in how the city runs and how it affects their community. So when we redraw these district lines, we need to include those communities as well as our African American communities, as well as our Hispanic communities, etc.
We are going to be electing a new mayor this fall as well, as you know. What is your assessment of Mayor White's term in office, and how would you like to see the next mayor be like him or not like him?
Houston has thrived under Mayor White's term, and I wish him well, because I have only been here since 2004, and I've seen the city weather through Katrina, Rita, Hurricane Ike. I've seen us take on a lot of responsibilities and for the most part still grow. And like I said, we are surviving this downturn right now. I give credit to Mayor White for that. The next mayor, I would expect to, would take this city even further. We've got to continue to diversify our business development. We're not totally dependent just on energy and oil and natural gas now. Now we've got the medical center, we've got the space industry, we've got technology, we've got finance, and that's a good thing. But let's face it, we still are an oil and natural gas and energy capital of the world, and we've got to continue to make sure that we foster growth in those areas. And I would hope that we foster growth in the new energy alternatives as well, including the green energies, wind, solar. There may be some other things out there as well. We need to make sure that the next mayor fosters getting funds for research and development in our local universities and get them up to tier one so that we can also perhaps get research into these new energies through those avenues as well. So I'm looking for a progressive development attitude in our mayor and in our city council.
Do you have a preferred candidate for mayor in the election?
Not yet, but I will tell you, it's very, very exciting. Basically, I like what I hear from Gene Locke. I like what I hear from Anise Parker. I like what I hear from Peter Brown. And it's going to get exciting in the next few weeks. You're going to hear more from Dexter Handy, too.
All right. Well, when voters come to vote on November 3rd, and they come to the District G race, why should they vote for you and not for one of your opponents?
They want someone who is fiscally conservative, but socially moderate, someone who's been around the world and seen how to get things done in a multinational environment. And let's face it, we are diverse here. We come from a lot of different areas. If they want someone who is accessible, who is available, who is honest, full of integrity, then they want Dexter Handy. That's who they want. And I am Dexter Handy, Lieutenant Colonel, retired United States Air Force. I'm running for District G. I want your vote.
All right, Dexter Handy, thank you very much for talking to me today.
Thank you.